If you were down at the beach this weekend, I was in Laguna Beach, and it was so clear. Like, Catalina was out in all of its glory. Like, you could see the whole island. And in fact, I don't know if you know this. I've lived here my whole life, and I just recently, in the last couple years, figured this out. There's an island behind Catalina, San Clemente Island. And when it's really clear, you can see it. And yesterday, we were down in Laguna Beach, and I could see it, and I was just so taken with it. And I kept thinking, you're always there. Like, San Clemente Island, you're always there. I just forget about you. I just don't see you. You're there. And I was just, it was so beautiful and so clear and so smooth. And I was thinking about this morning and really about this whole year that we've been looking at this kingdom society. And as Phil just said, we've taken a year to say, what does it look like to be a people who can see God's kingdom all the time, that know what it means to be a part of God's kingdom, not just to know about it, but to live it out in our lives, to be people who can see all the time, who be people who will be so present to what God is doing that we can step into it moment to moment, to be those that know that it's breaking through in the world at all times and learning how we can participate in that and live into the reality. And not like an island that comes and goes when we can glimpse it, but knowing that it's always there and being able to participate in it at any moment. And here we are, the Sunday before Christmas, and in a lot of ways, we're kind of like circling back to the beginning again of saying, this day is about celebrating Christ, God with us, that came into the world and with him ushered in the kingdom of God that we long to live into, that we're learning to live into, that we're saying we're a part of this. We recognize that God is still moving and working in the world. And this is what I love about Christmas, right? Because we're remembering that Christ came into the world, and we're remembering to look for it now, to look for how he's moving and working now. And that gives us hope to remember that he's coming back again and will restore everything and everything will be made whole. And so we've been talking this month about abundance and about, I'm actually going to take these earrings off. I did this last time I spoke here. Just remind me not to wear these on the preaching. I really love these earrings, but they're not preaching earrings. Let's just be clear about that. Ready. So we've been talking about abundance. Those earrings are a gift from a good friend, actually. Reminds me of that. The abundance of God. And we can't really talk about abundance without talking about Jesus himself, the abundant one, the one who came and said, I've come to give you life and life abundant. And then he showed us what that looks like because he gave everything. He's the God that like is the gift, that poured himself out even to death on the cross. And during Advent, here we are, like, once again, as Phil just mentioned, like, waiting, right? In touch with our longing, in touch with the things that we're desiring, and encountering a God again who is peace and hope and joy and love. That in Christ, everything that we long for is fulfilled. Everything we need is in Jesus, and we sing about it, and we hope that it's true, and we experience its truth, and we wait for it. And today we're going to turn our hearts again to this place of understanding what it is to open our hearts to the Christ that is everything for us, the Christ that is all abundant, that poured himself out. And I'd like to do that together by looking at Mary's journey and Mary's own experience of coming to understand Christ as the one who fulfilled the longing of Israel. And I think what we can do by looking at her journey is just see again for ourselves what it is to open our hearts to Christ and who he is and what he longs to do in the world. So I'm going to read from Luke 1, 26 through 56 and walk us through Mary's journey in this time. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their throne, but lifted up those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he promised to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So here's the story of Mary in this brief interlude that we see. And I'm wondering what her journey can teach us about welcoming Emmanuel, God who came to be with us. What do we know about Mary? We know a few things just from the story, right? We know that she was young, that she was a virgin, pledged to be married to Joseph, so she was legally bound to him already. She was from Nazareth, which was, we find out later in the Gospels, kind of essentially like the armpit of Palestine, not a place to be known for much. She's living in a point of in history where her people, the Jews, are occupied and oppressed by the Romans. They're heavily taxed and expected to do the wishes of Caesar. And they're ruled by a king who's betrayed his own people. And as a community, they are hanging on to the promises of God from centuries before that. They have this promise that a Messiah, a Savior, will come and rescue them. But Mary's born into a time after a long silence where there hasn't been like a proper prophet in a long time. There hasn't been a formal word of God in a long time. And it's a time of waiting. And into this appears an angel and says to her, "You, the Lord is with you. You are highly favored." And I want to just look at some of Mary's responses to this announcement and see ourselves in these responses, because I think there's a lot that we can learn from what it is to welcome Christ in this time. The angel says, gives her this announcement, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary's response, it says, is that she was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And what does she say? How will this be? So here we have this response to this announcement. She says, the Lord says, "You're favored by God." And she says, "I'm greatly troubled by this." right? And then she goes on to say, but like, how will this be? There's this puzzlement and this disbelief. Like, I don't understand how this might happen. Why me? And I think we have similar responses, right? When we encounter God, maybe there's something that's happened that says we're highly favored. We have a blessing of God and we are like, this is troubling. Why is this happening? Why me? Why would God want to use me? Or why would God look at me? Maybe I'm not really even hearing God. Maybe I'm not really encountering Jesus. We question. We've been talking throughout this year about what it means to be people who walk in the way of Jesus. And most recently, we've been talking about spiritual gifts, right? That the Holy Spirit, because we're people who said we want to follow Jesus, like that he just gives us the gifts of his Spirit to use for the purposes of his kingdom. And I think we maybe have a similar response when we first start discovering these gifts, where it's like, why would God give me ability to pray over someone and see them healed? Why would I be the one who has like, Lord, I don't want to give this person this word of knowledge. Like, why me? Like, why would you use me? This is troubling to us at first. Last week's message, Phil was talking about the abundance and generosity of a God that has given us all that we need to see the purposes of God worked out in the world. And it's a question of, will we open our hands and share the abundance that we've given? We had responses of people saying, like, all of a sudden it clicked to me. When I can be overwhelmed by the pain of the world and think there's nothing I could do to solve what I see around me. But then I understood, like, I have a part to play in this because I'm part of the kingdom of God, because I'm a person of God, that God would give me a gift that could be part of his purposes, that I could open my hands and pour out as God did for us. And I think we start to understand, like we'll see that Mary does, that this isn't about us. It's not even about maybe our relationship necessarily with God, but it's about who God is. That he's an abundant God that's like working out his purposes in the world and choosing to use us, choosing to use those who are willing to be a part of what he wants to do in the world. He's pouring himself out, giving good gifts to see the work, inviting us into the work and into encounters that would make a way for his purposes to be fulfilled in the world. And in this encounter with Mary, we see it had been a long time of silence, yet God was there with her in that moment saying, you are highly favored and I'm going to work out my purposes in you. We see that God is here with us now. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He came then and he's here to encounter us now. The Lord is with you. It's a really simple greeting, but like the simple truth that we get to celebrate at Christmas, that it's still true, that the Lord is with us. And maybe our first response to that is like Mary, like, why? This is troubling. But Mary didn't just stay there. She kind of moved to this place from the announcement to this place of agreement, this place of like, amen. In verse 35, the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. And what does Mary say? She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She comes to this place of agreement, of getting excited about signing on to God's purposes in the world, of saying yes to what God is inviting her to be a part of. Maybe she didn't know like how it was all gonna work out. Maybe it still felt impossible. Like, I don't know how this is gonna be. I don't know how this is gonna work out, but yes. May it be to me as you have said. I will sign up for this. I will agree to be a part of what you're doing in the world. And from there, she goes on, and she goes to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. It says she got ready and went to the hill country. And when Elizabeth sees her, she says to her, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has said to her would be accomplished. And I love this interaction because we see here that Mary went to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is also present, pregnant. She's pregnant with John the Baptist, who was also an impossible. She had been barren for years and years, and it was a miracle that she became pregnant. And that's what the angel was referring to kind of even comfort Mary. Hey, God can do impossible things. Even Elizabeth's pregnant. And she goes to see her, and Elizabeth affirms God's call on Mary's life. Elizabeth confirms the word of God to her. She says, oh my gosh, as soon as I saw you, I knew that you were carrying the Messiah. And I think in this, we see how the affirmation of our community, the affirmation, these words that God gives us of saying of knowledge that we couldn't have known except for by the Spirit, empowers us to live into what God has called us to do. And it's there in that moment that Mary breaks out in worship. It's there in that moment that Mary moves from why me? How could this be? From being troubled to this empowered place of worship. She moves from who am I? To he will bring down the rulers from their thrones and raise up the humble. We see this journey of Mary to empowered worship. And it's coming out of we've talked about in our own community, this affirmation of her of the community saying, I see God's work in you. I believe that God is doing something in you. And that breaks loose a praise and a worship in Mary. He goes on, Mary's response to this affirmation from Elizabeth is worship. And I'm going to read her song again, one, because it's just so beautiful, and two, because I want to spend the rest of the time really looking at what the song teaches us about who God is. So Elizabeth affirms God's call on her life, and Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. Oh, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost being. He has brought down rulers from their throne, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has remembered his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And this worship breaks loose in her as she's affirmed by Elizabeth. And I think what we've been experiencing even as a community in this last year reminds us that this is true, right? We've been saying in the last few weeks this phrase that Phil said the week we were practicing the spiritual gifts with one another, we have permission to move about the cabin, right? That we have a role to play in encouraging one another in the work that God's doing in our lives. That we have the ability to affirm God's purposes in the lives of each other. And that gives us courage to walk out the call of God on our life. And it gives us an empowered worship of remembering who God is and being humbled again that he would use us. And a lot of times this just looks like someone saying to us, you're not crazy. I see God at work in your life. It might seem impossible what God's asked you to do or invited you to do, but I recognize God working in your life. And I think this then results in us breaking out in worship and being able to let go and praise in ways that we weren't able to before when it seemed like it was just this thing between us and God. Mary's agreement to the angel's announcement, solidified by Elizabeth's affirmation, empowered her to see God's big picture. This wasn't just about her or even about her and her relationship with God. This was a culmination of history. And in her song, we see the moment that she expresses that. Mary's journey is a walk from troubled and doubt to obedience to empowered worship. And her song gives us a